minded person. I sat there yesterday. We had a great speaker. Her name was Evelyn. And there was a bunch of us in this room. And I'll tell you this, God wants to encourage entrepreneurs in this season. Amen? I think God's going to put his hand on Christian businesses, and we were talking to a few people about it. This is it. This is the season for it. This is the season for Christian politicians. You know, you can't be a politician now in the world that we have right now and not have someone watching over what you do and keeping you integrous 24/7. Amen? Because the world's out after dirt, aren't they? They're out to expose. That's just the nature of politics, which I actually think right now this is the greatest opportunity for Christians to go into politics, because we've got God, right? You can't watch over yourself, you know, but we've got our relationship with God. We've got our hearts set towards God, and God's keeping us. He's sanctifying us 24/7. Amen? And I believe the same with businesses. I think this is just an environment right now where God's going to do amazing things. So I encourage you, if you've got a heart, gather, because there was just a spurt of encouragement. We heard a great testimony, and we heard some great basic tools around social media and advertising that I thought were just amazing. So I encourage you. Business matters. Get along. Be a part of it. Do you know what? Who votes that we could turn the air conditioning off? Raise your hand. I know. This is the senior pastor's actually getting cold up here, and which is very rare, just quietly. So we're going to go ahead and do that. Psalms 133, verse 1. I'm going to finish up on what I believe God has spoken over our church and over you as individuals this year. And I think it's more prevalent now than I've ever seen. I think what God's trying to do right now and what the enemy's trying to counteract God with is quite obvious. So let me just read. We should know this by now. Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Listen to that. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, and the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Amen? And we looked a few weeks ago, we just looked at some of the blessing that comes out of this scripture and how that there are blessings in our life that are commanded of God, but they are conditional. Amen? Every one of us in this room want to live a blessed life, but there are some blessings that come into our life that are enabled by God, that are directed from the promises of God, but they do come. They are conditional. Is that okay to say? Your grace isn't conditional. Amen? Your righteousness in God is not conditional. It's not based on you. It's based on Jesus. So let's separate the two. So you're always going to have relationship with God through his grace and through his righteousness, not your own. So you can always have that connection with him. But if you want to live a blessed life, a life that sees the fruit of God upon it, then there are some conditions to it. And this scripture quite obviously is talking about blessing. It's talking about unity coming from that blessing coming from unity. So I want to talk about this morning. I want to dive into unity, because it's something that if you look across the landscape of our world right now, if you look at our the leadership that is over our nation, over other nations, over this world, it's quite obvious that we're in a season, we're in a time where the enemy is doing everything within his means to undermine any authority that is over a land. True? I mean, I'd say in the last 10 years politically in Australia, we've seen, well, it's not a matter of Labor and Liberal anymore, it's a matter of what Liberal's going to do to itself from the inside, and what Labor's done to itself from the inside. True? I mean, they are. Once we knew that you can have good competition between two parties, but now it seems like we're in an environment where what's going to happen next? Is it going to be Tony Abbott? Is it going to be someone else? Who is it going to be? Is it going to be something replaced from inside out? Because the enemy has always had a strategy to take away power. If Labor came up against Liberal, they're used to that. True? They're used to the opposition. They can fight against that, and they lock and load, and Liberal versus Labor, Labor versus Liberal. I'm just picking two parties. There's a lot more. But when Liberal has a fight within itself, or Labor has a fight within itself, it's chaotic. True? And I think right now, more than anything across this earth, we see a strategy where the enemy is trying to undermine God-ordained authority. Whether you like leadership of a country or not, and I'm not talking politics today, the fact is God ordains authorities in nations. True? And when that is undermined, it's not good for any of us. And right across, we can see that the enemy tries to do everything he can to undermine any authority. Unity is something that allows any partnership to exist well and to exist strong. And the enemy hates any God-designed or ordained partnership. The enemy just hates it. He can't stand it. He wants to destroy it. He wants to undermine it. He understands that from that there is authority, there is power, and he'll do what he can. And I just want to look at, for a moment, some of the partnerships that God's designed in our world. And the obvious one, straight up, is marriage. True? Marriage is a partnership. And the Bible talks about it being established in unity. Marriage is a partnership, the most intimate, the most special, the most powerful partnership two human beings could enter into. And it's established in unity. Mark chapter 10, verse 8 says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." Amen. From the apex of all human relationships comes marriage. It's the beginning of everything. And God's ordained it. And the number one reason it's protected is because God's ordained it to be unified. Amen. So much so that he makes the two one. God emphasizes that you operate as one. That spirit that God has placed you in a marriage is to be one. Amen. Even though you might have differences and you can celebrate your differences, the understanding is that you have oneness, that you understand that. Even through, we look at the incredible blessing that comes out of a unified marriage. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, it talks about the offspring of all nations blessed on this earth came out of the unity between Abraham and Sarah. Are you hearing me? Out of that one union, that one connection, the whole of the blessing that we know today came out of, biblical blessing came out of that relationship. That's how powerful it is. And we've got to realize that the enemy will do anything he can to undermine that strength and that power. The other key relationships that are mentioned in the Word of God, relationships that God has designed, Matthew 12, 25, "But Jesus knew their thoughts," this is what he said. "And he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand." Will not stand. That word house refers to families. Cities refer to cities and kingdoms, kingdoms. We live in a world where the enemy is constantly, constantly working to undermine the authority in a marriage, the authority in a family, the authority in a city, the authority in a government, you name it, a kingdom, no matter what institution, whatever God has designed and placed, to govern us and to make us flow together, the enemy is always out to bring the opposite. Amen? So it's something we need to realize when it comes to unity, when we come to these partnerships that we talk about, that it's something that we need to fight for, we need to be aware of, we need to allow our minds and hearts to be connected to. It's obvious that there is a partnership in the church. True? In fact, most of the New Testament, if you read the books of Ephesians, you read most of the books, Galatians, most of the books of the New Testament are actually the leadership dealing with disputes and things that would try to break up the church and bring disunity. Really? When you read through it, it could be to do with the love of idols. It could be to the love of, it could be men and women being used. It could be whatever area. It's a constant. And that's what it's about. Making us realize that we are one together, that the partnerships that we have in life, God has created us to have unity in, because the Word of God says where there is unity, there is blessing. If there is disunity in a marriage, I can tell you there is going to be a lack of blessing. Are you hearing me? We know that. If there is disunity in a family, if it's broken and fractured, there is going to be a lack of blessing. God's style of blessing, God's type of blessing. Are you hearing me? No matter what it is, whether it's a city, where even here you can talk partnerships, business, all sorts of areas, everything that God's ordained comes around that. Ephesians 4 verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Whether it's the church, whether it's your home, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your business, unity is something that God is wanting us to fight for and go after. And unity is a condition. The blessing over what you have, the preciousness of your marriage, your family, our church, your business, comes down to that understanding of unity. Amen? So what's the strategy? How can God help us release this unity? What do we need to do? How do we build this sense of God into these relationships, these partnerships that we have? What can we do to stop the enemy? I'm going to give us some keys. Are you ready? There's two things to be aware of when you're trying to build unity. And how many people here are married? Raise your hand. Fantastic. How many people are part of a family? Raise your hand. There you go. How many people were raised by wolves? Raise your hand. Jerry, I knew it. Knew it. The reality is, how many people here have a business? Have their own business? How many people here are part of a church? That's exactly right. I love this. John chapter 17. And I've mentioned this a few years ago, but I love this passage because it's where you overhear Jesus talking to the Father and someone recorded a conversation between the Trinity, which is kind of real cool. It's like he's dropping, and I think that's how I put it before. It's like someone's gone in with an iPhone and gone, oh, Jesus is talking to God, and it's like intimate. And you put on record just to hear them talk, I mean, yeah, I think I mentioned before, I love to go to cafes. I have time with God, and I read, and I do that, and it's very hard for me not to hear the conversation next door. Does anyone else do that? You guys are so good. But sometimes, you just feel like, can I answer that question? I'm just here. This is what the Bible says. I've actually done it once. Anyway, John 17:11, it says, Holy Father, this is Jesus talking, keep them through your name, which you gave me, that they may be one, even as we are. Not for these only do I pray, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. And there's a key word there. One. True? One of the most unified, amazing, incredible partnerships is the Trinity. True? And out of that head, out of that unity, they're not squabbling with each other, they're not fighting with each other, they're flowing with each other. They know what it is. And out of that strength, out of that bond, that's the heart that God's trying to build into what you have. Because the partnerships that you have emulate the partnerships that are in heaven. Are you hearing me? God wants you to build your life with partnerships that have such strength. And I know it begs the question, do the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, do they disagree with each other? Well, there's a good point. Isn't there? Who knows? They could have discussions. Who knows? Different opinions? I don't know. We'll find out. But they flow in unity. I'm not saying that there's no division between them. They flow in unity. So we're under this understanding that that's what God wants for us. So the first thing we need to establish, the number one that we need to establish to build unity is there is a partnership that God needs to be number one. That might sound so, well, yeah, duh, we're Christians. But you know what? In your marriage, God has to be number one. He's got to be the greater. He's got to be the apex of your relationship. He's got to be the greater authority than yourselves. He's got to be. In your family, you've got to establish God as number one. In your business, with your purposes, all that you do, in your partnerships, establish God as number one. In this church, Christ is the head. He's established as God as number one. True? You know, I fear for our country because God isn't established as number one in our authority over our country. So we're never going to have the perfection that the Bible says we'll have. True? Unless we get that. So we work with what we've got. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 puts it this way. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery, but equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. God's asking us, number one, to establish in our homes, our relationships, establish. That's the first thing you fight for. If you're here today and your partner isn't in the kingdom of God, then you need to go to battle. If you want to see the blessing of God spread across your home, you need to go to battle for his or her salvation. Amen? Fight for it. Come against the enemy. Get the church behind you. Understand that you need to fight for this person to come to know God in a real way. If it's someone in your family, fight for them. It takes humility before God to establish God as number one. And if a heart is not submitted to God, it's got pride in it. And that's what it talks about. We need to have that understanding that God is number one. Philippians chapter 2 verse 1 to 4 describes what this humility looks like if we have it. Verse 1 says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That describes a heart that is humbled to God, that is allowing unity to become, allowing God to be number one. Amen? If you've got pride, you won't allow that spirit to flow. We need to allow the mind of Christ to flow into our marriage, to flow into our family. Marriage, it's God that He establishes the focus of your marriage, the source and the direction, the worship and the obedience that's in your marriage, that's in your family. Let God establish it. Let God's principles be number one. Are you hearing me? Not just your own, but if we're godly homes, let's establish God's principles as the foundation of our homes, as the foundation of our marriages, foundation of our church, a foundation of our business, if we want to see God move in those areas. The same can be said for every partnership. God, the other thing that God doesn't want us to do, and hear me in this. If you are a strong believer in this place, God warns us about entering partnerships that are not equally yoked. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God says, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them and I will be their God." Can I just caution you? If you are a young person and you are looking to build a good, godly, unified, blessed relationship, and you are looking outside of someone that is truly given their life to Christ, you are setting yourself up for some challenges. Are you hearing me? Simple as that. You're setting yourself up. If you've got an understanding of Christ, I know there's a lot of people even in this place that have been saved, and they might have known someone beforehand and been part of someone's life, and then they've both became saved as it went on. Or that person, their partner, isn't saved yet. That's different. But if you're someone that's established in God and you're growing in God, and you go out looking for someone, and you enter into the strength of a partnership like marriage that isn't Christian, you are actually going to set yourself up for a bit of a hard time. Yes, they could be radically saved, and I've had many stories, and God's grace is over that. Are you hearing me? But a lot of the time, it just turns into a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. Are you aware of that? It's based on who you understanding, your understanding with God. I'm not talking about two people that get saved at the same time, or someone who's saved and their partner isn't saved. We battle, we fight for that. But the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. I think even businesses. If you're a godly Christian and your purpose is set for your business to be something that blesses the kingdom, and you yoke yourself into a partnership with someone that has no understanding of that, the Bible says, well, you know what? That's gonna be hard unless that person gets radically saved. And they can. But don't go into it thinking it's just that way. Same with any area of these incredible relationships and partnerships that we have. So the number one reason really is that we set God as number one. If you establish that, and you need to fight for that, if you're in that battle right now, maybe your partner doesn't know God, then I think if you want to point all your prayer and all your focus, point it to them coming to know Jesus. Don't try to sort them out. Don't try to fill them with the character of God when they don't have the Spirit of God. Are you hearing me? Don't try to turn them into a Christian when they haven't got the Spirit inside of them that turns them into a Christian. Are you hearing me? Well, you know what? Now that I know the Word of God and God saved me, man, I realize how unsaved my husband is, or unsaved my wife is, and they need to know that this is how you do things. You go with that spirit, it ain't going to work. I think the battle that you do is you say, God, I'm just going to claim there. And it's more to do with you showing the Spirit of Christ. You being the one. They haven't got the Spirit of Christ. Are you hearing me? You're the one that's the example. That's the love that God says in his word, that they will know that you are mine by this love that you have. True? Well, let that love shine. Let it show. Be that person that examples how God does things. Pray. You want to do your fighting and your wailing and your gnashing of your teeth and your warring? Do it in the spirit, not in the natural. Amen? You want to get angry? Go out to a field and say, God, I pray, save them. Save them, God, and fight. Come to Monday night prayer meeting and fight. Fight, 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 fight. Get involved with some people. Let's fight. Let's claim their soul. Let's wrestle their soul out of hell and into heaven. Amen? That's what the battle is. And I think, put your focus there. Because if you get that happening, you're going to see a flow that comes into your house, into your marriage. Amen? The second thing we need to be aware of is the enemy's strategies to divide and destroy. And the enemy operates in some fairly clear ways. And he'll operate with the same strategy, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a family, whether it's a business, whether it's a governing party, whether it's a church. He has the same strategies. And he has some key strategies. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. And it goes on, it says, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, and dissensions. The first two things that the enemy uses is contentions and dissensions. Everyone say contentions? Dissensions. And the enemy actually follows a bit of a pattern. It's not that hard to realize what he tries to do. Because contentions is the first thing we're going to look at. Ultimately, what the enemy is looking for, it starts with contentions, then he goes to dissensions, and then he takes it to his ultimate, which is division. Are you hearing me? So he slides it all the way through. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. So let me explain contentions. This is his starting point. And that word contentions, if you break it down, it involves things like quarreling or arguing. Quarreling is like an American word. Arguing. Who knows how to argue? Raise your hand. I'm a pretty good arguer. I can lock and load. I know every point. My sister's actually another whole level on me. My sister is a master. When she's losing an argument, she'll suddenly come on your side very subtly. And the next thing you know, you're arguing. She's arguing with you, but against you. It's very, very, she's very good at it. That word also means wrangling, which it kind of lifts wrangling, which where it gets a bit noisy. Who's, you know, we're all in families, right? Who has a perfect family that never argues? And wrangling is when the noise gets to another level, where, you know, it's just going a little bit crazy, and, you know, there's a bit more. And then there's contentious debate. Who loves a good contentious debate? And then after that comes strife and struggles and clashes and rivalries. See, this is the starting point, and some of it is just differences of opinion, but a lot of it, the enemy's trying to create these places and this ground for contention to build towards his next strategy. And he's trying to make sure that you don't work out how to deal with arguments and quarreling. He'd rather you just get so upset and for it to burst out and to happen all the time into your house or your marriage or the church or your business, just to be filled with these contentions, filled with these quarreling and arguing. It just seems like every time you go to work or every time you and your wife get together, it just seems like we're just at each other constantly. What is going on? And the enemy just loves it because he just tries to get you just thinking this way and focusing this way. And so let me just help you through it. I want to give you some practical steps to deal with conflict. A lot of this is aimed at marriage, but it can result towards family as well. Do you want some of this? Step one, resolving conflict requires knowing and accepting and adjusting to your differences. You know what? 9 times out of 10, people that are in marriages, it actually does, its opposites attract. True? Is that right? You know, like Marianne and myself, we don't completely love the same things. You know, she's got different interests to me. When it comes to movies, it can be quite a contentious thing. Honestly, we literally go to movies and we sit there and it's like, oh, I could think of the worst movies to see and the other ones she wants to see. And she could think of the worst movies I want to see and they are the ones I want to see. And we can sit there going, and I could go, oh, there's no movies. She goes, well, yes, there is. Oh, it's no use going to the movies. There's nothing worth seeing. Well, then she looks at the list and goes, everything's worth seeing. And I'm like, well, there's no action. No one gets killed. There's no adventure in it. There's no guns. There's no swords. What's the point? Why would I go to a movie? There's no one who has to fight back from destruction. And he's fighting against everyone. And he finally overcomes. And she's like, well, where's the love? You know, where's the romance? I'm like, well, I don't know. Right at the end, just before he dies, he finds out that he really did love and they killed him, you know, whatever. And it's just the way it's different. True? And in families, your families are not going to be all the same. God likes to mix it up and put different personalities. And sometimes, you know, your phlegs and your cholerics and your melancholies, all family's nuts, isn't it? You can choose your friends, but not your family. And you're thrown all into one little environment and you live together in unity. Step two, resolving conflict requires defeating selfishness. In a marriage, all your differences are magnified. True? You know, maintaining harmony in a marriage has been hard since Adam and Eve. It's not new. All right? It's something that just takes work. Maintaining harmony is something that you've got to work out. You've got to be able to deal with these areas. Step three, resolving conflict requires pursuing the other person. Romans 12 verse 18 says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Be an advocate for peace in your marriage and your family. Be the peacemaker. Go, hey, this is getting out of control. Let's stop right now. We're saying things we don't mean, we're doing things we don't mean, we're getting, let's just stop. Hey, I'm sorry. Whether you want to accept it or not, whether you think you're right or not, whether your opinion has been proven wrong or right, just go, right now, we need to bring peace into this place and I'm going to do it. And I'm sorry. I'm not going to argue anymore. I'm not going to fight anymore. Amen? Step four, resolving conflict requires loving confrontation. Not avoiding it. And let me just give you a whole bunch of quick, because that's a big statement to make, right? Loving confrontation. But if you avoid confrontation, then you can have disunity. Confrontation is a part of unity. Are you hearing me? It's not having a dispute or a disagreement. It's about dealing with it and moving forward. So let me just check. Let me give you some approach when dealing with conflict. Check your motivation. Will your words that come out of your mouth right now, will they hurt or will they help? Boom, pull back. Check your attitude. Check the circumstances. You want to confront someone? Don't do it when they're tired, when they're in the middle of a dispute. You come home from work, Ladies, if the husband comes home from work from a long day and he walks in the door and you go, all right, I've been waiting for you to come home. I'm going to let loose. You know, this is what you did in the morning. You know, you left the underwear up here and you left this out. You did that and what, this is leaking, that's not doing. He just walked in the door. It's like, timing's everything. True? You could be sitting down. You might have made him a cup of tea and you go, honey, do you know what? It's just a couple of things I'd like to talk about. And you bring it up. Sound good? Likewise. Husbands, she's been looking after the kids all day. You burst in the room. You know what? I just think we're not doing it right. Oof, you're in a world of hurt just there. Check to see what other pressures may be present. Be sensitive to people's worlds. What's happened at work? What's happened at home? What's going on in a family? What's involved right now? You know, you've got a family and one child just, what's going on? Is school not going well? Is there things going, is there bullying going on? Is there circumstances? Listen, next one, listen to your spouse if you're in a marriage relationship. Seek understanding. Get their viewpoint. Focus on the problem, another one, rather than the person. Which means don't attack someone's character. If they're always late, focus on the fact of being late and what that causes versus you are always late. Are you hearing me? Hey, honey, we're late again. Well, okay, well, we'll have to go in and apologize. No worries. Let's do that, okay? Versus you cause it. Are you hearing me? Focus on the facts rather than judging motives. Always look for facts. Look for truth. Above all, focus on understanding the other person as opposed to winning or losing an argument. Amen? I didn't make these up. These came from someone who's qualified in dealing with conflict, from a counselor. Sound good? Step 5. Resolving conflict requires forgiveness. Maybe the band can come up now. Step 5 requires forgiveness for dealing with conflict. You want to deal with conflict? You've got to be willing to forgive. The last thing that the enemy does, there's two things that the enemy tries to do. He brings in contentions and then he brings in dissension. Can I tell you what dissension is? Step 2? Step 2 in the enemy's strategy, first of all, he'll get you disagreement. He'll get you not dealing with conflict. He'll get your house filled with disagreement. And then he'll go after the very thing he wants. Dissension is an attack on authority. So what the enemy will do is he'll try to pull down, he'll try to disestablish authority, whether it's in a home, whether it's in a business, whether it's in a family. Between kids and their parents, he'll try and separate authority where the kids though, you're not my authority anymore. In a relationship, in a marriage, it's like, you're not authority over me. I'm not authority over you. There's no authority in our marriage anymore. He'll try and separate those people from God. Whether it's in a church, that'll come against the authority that God's established in the church. He'll do everything he can to undermine authority because the word dissension means rebellion, sedition. In a household, you've got a young person and they get into a place of a rebellion. Rebellion is just working against authority. They don't see you as the authority anymore. They've got another authority from their friends or from wherever it is. And they've got to a place where that authority has been replaced in their hearts. And the enemy loves that. That's perfect. Because then he can move in to his final thing, which is to cause division. Don't let your partnerships get there. Arguments, disagreements, differences of opinion. Do you know what? They're normal. They're normal. That's how life works. In a church, in a business, you've got to create a pathway for those things to be dealt with, for them not to go beyond that. Because when you get dissension, it means you actually get people talking against an authority and starting to establish themselves in a different authority. And that's when the enemy opens the door and he comes in and he brings division. Amen? I've seen marriages just come to a place where, you know, you start to hear the talk, whether it's a husband or a wife, and they start talking, and the talk is, you know what, they're talking against each other. They start letting words come out of their mouth that this person, they're not acting like a wife, they're not acting like a husband, they're not anymore, and that the enemy gets behind that and brings division. Amen? And he does it in a family where you hear it, it's sad, you hear it. Kids just go, oh, my parents, they don't know anything. They don't know anything. They've got no idea. And they establish themselves under a different authority. Whether it's in a church, you get some people going, you know what? The pastor, the leadership, they don't know what they're doing anymore. We think this is the direction. And they start, that's dissension. They start to create their own authority and take things away. The enemy gets behind that. We're going to stand to our feet. I want to end this service. I want to speak life into every partnership, every relationship in this place. Because I can tell you the enemy will try, he'll strategize, he'll plan, he'll purpose to bring about his plans. But God says where there is unity, he says, I will command the blessing. And I want to speak against the enemy's devices. I want to give you wisdom. Take some of the wisdom today about contentions. And when I want to see it released, I want to see that broken. I want to see people actually get a heart to bring about a place where you can have differences of opinion, but you've established a way to communicate it so that your family or your marriage stays in unity. Amen? Stop it there. If you're in a place where the enemy right now is fully pouring into dissension and trying to bring a difference of authority, we need to break his power in the name of Jesus. And if you're in a place of division, we're going to pray for God to unify that and bring back those relationships. Amen. If you've got any one of those areas, maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your business. I just want you to come and stand out here. We're not going to spend much more time. Come down the front. But I just believe. I believe God wants to break something off people's lives today. God wants to expose what the enemy's doing. Come on, come down the front. If that's you, if it's in a marriage, if it's in a relationship, family, if the enemy's active in some way in this area, come on, come down the front here. Come on, humble yourself before God and allow God to work. Come on. Maybe the guys could just for a moment just sing some worship. Come on. I know there's quite a few people in this room, and I know it's in your home, or it's at marriage, or it's at business, at work. Just come down. Spirit of God. Spirit of God.
There's nothing worth more.
Come on, lift your hands. If you're down the front here, lift your hands to God.
Ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope.
Spirit of God. Spirit of God.
Your presence, Lord.
Jesus.
I've tasted and seen.
Spirit of God.
Of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Spirit of God.
Your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, we just ask you, move. Life group leaders, someone just come and start praying for some people. Dave, Mona, Marianne. What
your glory, God, is what our hope. to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Spirit of God.
Your
presence. Jesus.
Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. My heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come blood and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, God. Your presence.
Close your eyes for the one last moment. I'm going to still pray for some people down here. Just close your eyes. I wonder if there's anyone in this place that's not 100% for Jesus. Maybe there's some division in your heart or whether or not you are a true believer. I want you to know when you leave this place that you are 100% owned by Jesus Christ, that He is your personal Lord and Savior. You need have no doubt. You need have no fear, but just the knowledge that He is number one. With every eye closed, what we're going to do right now, we're going to pray a prayer right now. And there's two types of people. That person that has a doubt in their heart, you need to pray with all your mind and all your heart and allow Christ to come into your life. And the second person, if you're honest with yourself, you've been heading in the opposite direction to the ways of God and you need to rededicate yourself afresh to Him. So with every eye closed, I want you to pray every one of us in this room, pray this prayer with all sincerity.
Dear Lord Jesus,
I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me, that you took away my sin and my wrongdoing, and you replaced it with your grace and your mercy, that today my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I am a Christian, that eternity is placed in my heart. Forgive me of all my sins, Jesus. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every eye closed. One moment longer. If you pray that as a rededication or for the first time, just raise your hand. Come on. Just raise one hand in the air so I can see it. If you pray that as a rededication or... Great. Over here. Anyone else? Someone over here? Maybe our new Christians team could just move to those spots. Awesome. Praise God. Everyone look this way. Brilliant. We're going to have a chat with those people after the service. But thank you very much for being here today. And can I just pray? I know you guys are... Let me just pray protection over your partnerships and relationships before we leave this place. Is that all right? Just close your eyes for a moment. God, we realize your word says in Psalm 133 that where there is unity, you command the blessing. And God, we pray for a release of your blessing. God, over our partnerships, over our marriages, families, businesses, God, over our church, God. God, we pray for a release of your blessing, God. God, we pray that we would go after, protect, fight for unity in you, Christ. And God, I speak it over every relationship in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Awesome. God bless you, church. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to see you in our new people's area out through the cafe.